listeners, and welcome to the fifth episode of our Reading Cove podcast, where a few group members get together to talk pretty informally about our current month's pick. For any listeners who may be interested in joining our book club, please visit our website at www.thereadingcove.com. Today, we're chatting about our May pick, Whitethorn Woods by Maeve Binchy. So we'll start off with introductions. I'm Millennia, the founder of The Cove, and I'm in Florida.
I'm Roberta. I'm one of the co-moderators, and I live in Georgia.
I'm Monica. I'm a Cove member. I live in Nebraska.
And welcome, you two. Nice to meet up with you guys and chat about our pick. We're doing our recording a little late this time, so we've already wrapped up our email discussion with the group online, but it's always nice to get together and do our little podcast and chat about the pick. So Whitethorn Woods is our 126th Cove pick, and it was chosen by Sally, one of our other longtime members. She's not with us today, but for the most part, I think the overall grade was a C+. So there were some mixed opinions about the pick, but what did you guys think? I felt like there were just way too many characters, so I think I gave it a C+ myself.
Well, I think I ended up giving a B-, so just probably a hair above yours. I agree completely. There were just way too many characters to keep up with. I think the whole story would have flowed a lot better if there were less characters, and you know, it would have been more cohesive. And that would have just made for a better reading experience. Sometimes it's just hard to keep track of too many people.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt about it. What about you, Monica?
I gave it a B+. I think the problem was is she didn't really let on it was going to be a book of short stories. And
right. Once
I start, I'm like, oh, it's short stories. Okay. And then once they were kind of done, I kind of forgot about them and moved on to the next pair of stories.
Right.
Normally, I don't like to read a lot of short stories, but every now and then I'll read some. Maeve Binchy's been hit or miss with me on the short stories. I did like Whitethorn Woods. I liked Evening Class a lot. Mm-hmm. I didn't care for A Silver Wedding too much. It just kind of depends upon how the short stories are done.
Yeah. She's been hit or miss for me too. But I think with this one, I saw what I love about Maeve Binchy, which is her talent for setting, you know, that lovely Irish setting, and her ability to develop the characters and make them feel real to you and get you into their lives and their emotions and stuff. I appreciated that. That was in this book in spades. But I just got... I don't really care for short stories, a bunch of short stories. And I just got lost with all the characters. I wish she had stuck with like maybe 3 to 5 of them and then just developed them around the well instead of just kind of loosely, you know, creating a, I don't know, how many characters were there? Like 20? And then she just kind of loosely, you know, some were right in Rossmore, the town where the St. Anne's well was. And then others were just loosely connected to people in the town, or they had been through the town, or they knew somebody in the town, or they'd heard about the town, and it just got to be too much. I felt like, okay, I don't know, it just didn't work for me. It wasn't my cup of...
What I liked was the two stories went together. There was kind of like the movie He Said, She Said, you know, you've got one person's perspective on the story, you got somebody else's perspective on the story, mm-hmm. and even though it's the same story, it's different because
right.
it depends upon whose eyes you're looking through.
Right.
So I liked how she did that. I don't see a lot of that in books.
Yeah, I like that too. I like that too. But then you forget people because I really liked Nettie, and I liked, was her name Vera? The one who
yes.
went on the singles cruise. Those
yes.
were my two, those two stories I really liked. And those are two of the characters I wish were more developed instead of going off into a lot of these other stories. And then it just got to where you forgot about a lot of the stories. And you're just like, okay, what is the point of this, all these stories? All these people.
Well, I think they were trying to explain what exactly Father Brian had against the well. Mm-hmm. And because even Cheryl commented, you know, a priest that's against the miracles. I think it's because people were using that in the wrong way. Because we have, you know, we also have lords where the healing spring where they can go and bring their sick children to make them better. But these people were asking, you know, for example, okay, can you make my lover's wife die so I can marry him type things? And it's just no. And they're, you know, they're using that in the wrong way. And he was like, no, these people are using this well for bad things rather than good, what it's meant for.
Right.
And I think he was kind of showing us how exactly he did feel about the well, why he felt the way he did about it.
Go ahead, Roberta.
Okay, no, I'm just saying, and he kind of, Father Brian was kind of emphasizing that it really wasn't even a Christian tradition to start with. It went more back to the times of the Druids and the pagans, too. And so I think he had kind of a bad feeling about that part of it, too, besides people using it for their own gain and
right.
rather than healing or that type of wish.
Yeah, it became more just a general wishing well that you'd see anywhere instead of being tied to, you know, like you said, healing and for the good of all type thing. But he was like the bookends to the story, right, Father Brian?
Right.
He was like at the beginning, we are introduced to the town and the well and the history and everything through him. And then he kind of caps it off at the end.
Right. And then he had a middle section.
Yeah.
So I think he would have been better just bookends, you know, the stories, Father Brian, rather than Father Brian stories, Father Brian stories, Father Brian.
Exactly. Yeah. But I don't regret reading it, but I feel like, you know, it wasn't one of her better ones for me. And, okay, of course, we have to talk about Becca, the Becca story. Becca and her, you know, harebrained scheme to get her man.
Yeah, and I had to reread that part. I'm thinking, she did what?
I know. And then I was just cracking up when her mom was, like, selling her out to the tabloids for money.
I know.
And going to the jail dressed down so that she wouldn't realize where, you know, like have any questions about where she's getting the money to buy all these fancy clothes and do her hair all the time. It was so funny.
But, yeah, it seemed. Go ahead.
People fantasize about stuff like that with, you know, if their boyfriend or their crush moves on with somebody else. People fantasize something terrible happening to them, but they don't actually do it.
Exactly. And how did she get to convince someone to take, he's telling her that he's going to kill himself. And then I think he was like having second thoughts and she was like trying to convince him to kill himself. Like trying not to have him have second thoughts because she wanted him to
take out this girl too.
Yeah. So her plan would be shot to hell if he decided not to go through with it. So she was like, no, don't have second thoughts. Your life really is crap or whatever.
Yeah.
I was cracking up about that part. But yeah, how would she convince somebody? Because in the group we were talking about plausibility and what was believable and stuff. And I'm like, you know, could she really convince him to take a girl along with him on this suicide mission and say nothing to her?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm just saying that she was so nice to him. And he said later in his letter he left behind that she'd been so nice and kind to him and, you know, helped him make a decision about what he needed to do, whether to face the pain or just go ahead out on his own terms. So I think he was one of these ones. She, you know, apparently was probably pretty attractive. And so he appreciated the attention and from attractive female and thought, well, you know, what better way to end things? And he felt like he was doing it, even though he didn't know he was doing an evil thing, he felt like he was doing a good thing to help somebody else out who was suffering.
I don't know.
And then even in prison, she was like defending what she did and thinking that she was going to have this happy life with this guy. And I'm like, you're in prison. You're going to be in prison for years and years and years.
Yeah, you'll be old lady by the time you get out.
If she gets out.
If she ever gets out, right.
And I just thought her mom was just hilarious. She just was, I don't think she was upset at all that her daughter had done this. It was like, is there no wonder that Becca's crazy? Because her mom seemed a little batty.
Yes. Yes.
She kind of reminded me of that NASA astronaut that went cross country to spray mace and the outer of his face. Yeah. Wore the adult diapers. That's who this Becca reminds me of.
Yeah. She wore those diapers to go and kill her because she was jealous about, you know, her being involved with a man that she liked.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, she's just like that. You know, cooking up a scheme to get Janice out of the way so that she can be with, I don't even remember the guy's name now. But yeah, that part was really funny. It was really funny. Any other parts that stick out for you guys? The main thing for me was the singles thing. I really liked Vera and how her and Nick met on the singles cruise. I enjoyed that part.
For me, what stuck out was at the end, Pandora's story, when she thinks her husband's having an affair and she sees, you know, jewelry saying about, you know, I'll see you at the harvest moon or the next full moon or something. And then her husband's got to go away on a business trip at that full moon. And this woman comes in talking about how she's going to meet her lover. And she gives her the most hideous, greasy haircut. She gives her this horrible hair washing. She gets soap in her eyes, bangs her head, has this woman kick her, and then finds out it's somebody
it's
else.
Not true. I know.
And I could just see this woman's hair just looking awful, then finding out, oh, I did this horrible thing to an innocent woman here.
Exactly. You were wrong. She's not having an affair with your, you know, whatever. That was funny.
But you could see how she could, you know, all the things would kind of add up, and people do devious things and don't hide their transgressions, their discretions as well as they should. So I can see Pandora thinking that it was that. It wasn't delusional like some of these other characters.
Yeah.
And I liked Fabian and / Bruiser. I thought he was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, there were some pretty cool characters.
So that I think probably who everybody's favorite character, Nettie, appearances stuck out a lot too, because he was just such a nice person and you know, it lived his life to help everybody even though they didn't appreciate it.
Yeah, and it was kind of I felt bad for him the way his family kind of treated him because he was, you know, slow or whatever, and they underestimated him and they kind of, you know, like gave him busy stuff to do, stuff to keep him busy, or you know, and he wasn't as dumb as I think they thought he was. Absolutely not.
No, I think he was. He might have been soft in some ways, but I don't think it was soft in the head. I think he was just a sweeter person and gentle, and he wasn't like as aggressive as some of these other people or as pushy or whatever. He had his own ambitions, but he was quiet about it, where these other people, it was all about what they wanted to do and having fun and not thinking about tomorrow.
Yeah, and how they, like, when he went to, I don't know if he went somewhere to stay with his brother, one of his brothers, and he thought his job was, like, keep taking care of the house, or I forget what the title was that he thought that they told him, this is your job, but they did that more just to, you know, have him keep the house clean and stay out of their way.
Right.
And he thought it was an actual job, that he was managing the, you know, he was the manager. I thought that was sad.
Well, yeah, it was sad the way they treated him, but it sort of backfired on them, you know, since
exactly.
He was the one that came out the best in the end of any of them.
Exactly. Exactly, because he was in no way silly. He worked out ways how to do, you know, odd jobs for people to make some money, and he was very practical in that way. So I liked him a lot. And then, of course, at the end, he was the one who came up with the idea to save the well.
Yeah, when everybody else was all up in arms, he just had that quiet way about him to figure out what needed to be done without having things more in an uproar than they already were.
Mm-hmm. So this is probably going to be a short one. Anything else you guys want to add about it?
One of my favorite characters was Mishka or Maureen, and I liked their stories, how the kind of the two families of parents, you know, the the Catholic mom, you know, wanted her to have Catholic friends, and the Jewish mom wanted her daughter to have Jewish friends. Mm-hmm. So she changed her friend's name to Mishka so she could introduce her mom as a Jewish girl. And I think they ended up figuring it out down the road. But it was kind of neat how their friendship stuck together even on two continents, and how they were there for each other during their marital problems, and even got through, you know, with their family, they're going to be friends regardless of what their parents thought, or even down the road what their families would think later.
Well, I said, I think it's, you know, I'm glad that I read the book, and as you two had said, I've read not all, but quite a few of Maeve Binchy's books, and some of them I liked better than others. That, and I said, this was probably just the average one, and there were a lot of things I would have liked to have seen better, but it was still a good read because there were these authentic characters that you could relate to, either cry with or laugh with.
Yeah. Yeah, I would recommend it to people who, if you're fans of this type of book, of Maeve Binchy type books, and, you know, it's like a good armchair book.
Right. It's, you have to be in the mood for a nice afternoon read rather than something real deep. So yeah, I usually use them as my in-between books, I guess.
Yeah, and not really, you know, and really like short story collections, because this is really much more like a short story collection. Because like some people were saying, some of the characters didn't even get a wrap-up. You never saw them again. You know, you're like, okay. So it just kind of felt like she had all these ideas and then just threw them into this book. I don't know.
But at least she kept... With her short stories, they all live in the same town. They know each other. I've read a collection of short stories where one story has absolutely nothing to do with the next one, and they're not even about anything to do with anything. They're all kind of just a bunch of random stories thrown into a book.
Right.
And reading them, at least she kind of keeps hers with the same theme.
Yeah, they all kind of have the same theme running through. They were like all connected to the well in some way. To Rossmore. All right, so I guess that's it. So we'll thank everyone for listening, and stay tuned for next month's episode where we'll be talking about The Society by Michael Palmer, which I'm really looking forward to. Change of speed. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.